only one Sefer Torah. Don't you feel disappointed? After last week having three Sefer Torah, this week we only have one Sefer Torah. Parshas Vayigash. It's the most emotional parsha in the Torah. Has to be the most emotional parsha in the Torah. The two top events of Ani Yosef Ha'oyrav Yichoy, and the Pegisha of Yaakov and Yosef after 22 years. And what does Yaakov do? Yaakov, he says Kriya Shema. So we'll talk about that in a few moments. Before I want to talk about, okay, we'll go with a few things. First thing we'll talk about is, after Yaakov Avinu, after Yosef discovered that the revelation took place that Yosef is alive, he revealed himself to his brothers. He sent gifts. He gave each brother a change of clothing. He gave Binyamin 5 changes of clothing. Then he sent to his father, he sent a whole collection of items. Okay, 10 chamoirim, carrying mituv mitzrayim. And he sent, Rashi says he sent yayin. The tuv mitzrayim, yayin yoshon, shedas zikenim noicha hemenu. That's number one. Number two, he sent a pool shal grisin. He sent, first he sent the pool shal grisin shal pool, okay. Let's go to the pasuk. Beans. He sent beans. Beans and wine. Why did he send these two things? Let me see if I can find the pasuk very quickly. Where is in the pasuk? We asked Tamari. Tamari, what pasuk? 45:22. L'chulam nosan lo'ish. How does she know this? She's scary. She's mamash scary over here. L'chulam nosan lo'ish chalifais simolais. U'l'v'yamin nosan shloish meos kesef. V'chamesh chalifais simolais. Exactly what I said. U'l'yaviv shalach kozois. Tamari, how do you know this? How do you know this? Yeah! Is it right? You spooked out? No, you spooked out? Okay. Shadaz the Kerim Noicha Imenu, Umedr Shagoda, Grisin Shel Pol. Okay, so the Tov Mitzrayim are two things, Yayin and beans. What do these two things have in common? These are the two things that you serve a person who is in mourning. Okay, we learned back in.
You serve wine?
Yes, 10 cups of wine. 10 cups of wine. So we don't do it today, of course. The Suda Savra, Me'ikir Adin, the Gemara says you're supposed to drink 10 cups of wine at the Suda Savra. We don't do the Gemara, we stop doing this because we get drunk. We'll get drunk. Yayin is a tool. It gets you where you want to go. If you want to get happy, it'll get you there.
Wine was created for Morei Nefesh, for ones of
or bitter. It gets you where you want to go. If you want to find comfort, it will bring you comfort. If you want to be happy, Yayin is just a tool to get you where you want to go. You have to first decide, which emotion today do I want to dwell upon? If I want to be happy, Yayin will enable you to reach joy. Person is in tsar and he wants to have comfort. The Yayin will assist, will be a tool to get the person to where he wants to. The person wants to open up his mind and be exposed to the Soidei Satoiran Purim. On Purim, then the wine will bring you to that matzav. Yayin, a person who knows, who is in control. A person who is in control of his mind, which I don't think we have today, people like this anymore, will tell you that Yayin is a tool that can help you get direct where your mind to where you want it to go. Unfortunately today, obviously in the Skadnu Hadaris, few and far in between people who know what they're doing, and yayin is a very dangerous substance.
What?
Okay, it's a very nichnas yayin yetsay soit. Okay, it's a very dangerous tool. Okay, so let's review. So These two things are two things. I want to tell you a chiddush, which I think is a little bit controversial and probably not true, but I just want to bring out the point. What's so funny?
That disclaimer?
Yes, Yayin, this is what I want to try to say. Why is he sending him these two things? So first of all, it's a chiddush to say, is it really correct that the Grisen Shalpul represents a mourner's food? Adoshim, lentils. We know that lentils you serve. We know that Yaakov, when Avram Avinu died, Yaakov himself, he was an expert in this. He was the one that was making the Adoshim. He was preparing the food of mourners. The food of mourners, which is Adoshim, and Rashi there on the Pasuk says, explains why was he preparing Adoshim. Vayozed Yaakov Nozid, he was preparing Adoshim lentils. Lentils is served to mourners because it's round. To Perushim, it doesn't have a peh, it does not have an opening, because a mourner does not have an open peh, and it's round, it's a form of comfort. Don't get too worked up over the loss of another person. It's Gilgul HaChoyzer Bo'olam. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Don't get, it's a food, and it's a theme to the food. Mm-hmm. It brings a degree of mourning, eggs, and things that are round. Beans, bagels, okay. Things that are round. So the pull shel grisin is an example of things that are round. I mean, I'm suggesting that this is a mourner's food. Why in the world is Yaakov Avinu then sending him two different items, the two different items that you serve, a mourner? Right? Why is Yosef sending mourner's food to his father Yaakov? Yaakov was certainly very familiar with the food that you serve a mourner, because Yaakov Avinu prepared for his own father Yitzchak the food for mourning when Avram Avinu died, and that's when Esav came and wanted the food, and he got the brachas. Why is he doing this? I want to suggest the following.
Never had closure?
Exactly. You're not going to make up 22 years. It's 22 years are gone. Yaakov Avinu did not see his child for 22 years. Vayimoein lehisnachem. He's gone. This is not plan A. This was not the way it was supposed to be. This is not what Yaakov Avinu planned for in his life, that one of his children should be taken down to Mitzrayim, be subject to Eishes Potiphar, be subject to the whole ugly ordeal of being stripped naked, thrown into a pit of scorpions, and being sent down to Egypt, and going through what happened there, and now living in the palace with dealing with people that are not religious, anti-religious. The culture of Egypt, the Ervas Aretz, was certainly not the cheder and the base medrash that Yaakov Avinu envisioned, and that's not going to change. You can't go back in time. You cannot undo what happened. It's not like, oh, it's 6 months, it's 3 months. Well, you just didn't go to the right camp in the summer for a month and a half. This is 22 years. He's a grown adult. This is his life. This is it. He's going to die as the viceroy of Egypt. He's not coming back. Nothing's going to change. You have to be realistic. This is who he married, Osnas Basbel Putifera. His children, Ephraim and Menashe, they are Egyptians. They're not your typical Haredim. They live in Egypt. There's no way. There are three people against the whole world. And Osnat, I mean, this is it. This is not what he envisioned. And Yaakov Avinu mourned for him for 22 years. Vayimoin lehisnachem. Yaakov Avinu is saying, now that you know that I'm alive, and now that you know the whole story, it's like you said, time for closure. And the closure means not like we're taught in kindergarten. Oh, it's a big party. Oh, Yosef Chai, V'chihu Moshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, let's bring out the red carpet and have a big banquet, a big party. No. Now I can sit Shiva. Now I can finally achieve Nechama. It's not a party. We look at it. Oh, Yosef Chai, everything is wonderful. Everyone is very happy. They weren't so happy. Yaakov Avinu, when he saw his son Yosef, I mean, this is no one knows the answer to this. There's no answer to the question of why he was saying Kriyashma. Punk now, when he sees his son Yosef after 22 years, oh, Zman kriyashma. Rabbi say, Zman kriyashma, like in shul. There is no satisfactory answer. I'm sorry, Rabbi Sai. Whatever you're going to tell me, I'm not going to be satisfied to understand why, punk then, he had to say Kriya Shema. It means something very, very deep, very beyond our understanding. But it doesn't say that he kissed him and he hugged him and everything is fine and good, because it's not fine and good. The consequences of Mechiras Yosef live on Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. The Asara Harugei Malchus is a result of Mechiras Yosef. The Gedolei Yisrael say that in more modern times, the blood libels is a midah keneged midah of Mechiras Yosef. The Sinas Chinam between Klal Yisrael is all a continuation of Mechiras Yosef. The consequences of Mechiras Yosef are here, and they didn't go anywhere. We have to deal with it. And it's not a happy event. We look at it, of course, okay, but the benefit is, okay, we know what we're dealing with. We now have closure.
By the way, if I may, I went to one Yahrzeit shiur of Yoshevir Soloveitchik. It was at the Americana Hotel. They convinced me to go to one of them. I still remember what he spoke about. He spoke about that there was a struggle for Malchus Yisrael between Reuven, who was the Bechor of one, then Yehuda, and Yosef, who was the Bechor of Rachel. And there was a whole struggle.
Haftarah, that's the Haftarah, Mamash the Haftarah.
Yeah, and there was a struggle for Malchus Yisrael. I mean,
there are many Perushim.
Yosef was the Tzadik Gomer, Yehuda was the Kovesh Es Yitzro. He was what was needed to be the Melech Malchus Yisrael, had to be the Kibor. So what happened was he lost the battle, Yosef. Now his dream was that he was going to have Malchus. He had two dreams. This is a different thing, Salvation speaking.
Okay, it's taking a long time. Okay.
He had two dreams, and the other dream is that the father's going to come and bow down to him. The father was saying Kriya Shema, particularly at that moment, so he would not be Mekayim the dream of the course.
Very interesting. Wow. He wanted to prevent the dream from being the Skyim.
Wow.
Very, very interesting. He was saying it to prevent the dream from being the Skyim. Wow. Very, very interesting. Okay, we have to develop this here. The whole shiur. Maybe one day you'll say a shiur. You'll fill us in on the details. It's very, very interesting. It's very interesting. Now going back to our topic, Yosef over here is sending his father food for nichum avelim. Yaakov Avinu was in avelus for 22 years. Vayimoein lehisnachin. Now, father, you can have nechama. Not like we think, we would think, no, there's no need for Nechama, because no one died. And the way we grow up is, there's no need for Nechama. The reason why Yaakov, so did he ever get Nechama? No, he never got Nechama because he doesn't need Nechama, because Yosef didn't die. So the whole thing was a mistake. Yosef didn't die. Yosef is successful. This was the plan that was always supposed to happen. So everything was a mistake, So Memela, if that's taka the case, then why is he sending him mourner's food? He should send him a birthday cake. He should send him something from Essen on Koni, some sandwiches. Have a nice party. No. Yosef taka died. Yosef died in the eyes of Yaakov Avinu. He did die. Because this is not what I wanted for him. And 22 years is too long of a period of time that you can turn back the clock. He died. And he died, and I couldn't have Nechama because I never had closure. I didn't know the details. Now, after 22 years, I now know how he died in my eyes. It's not so bad that he died because, you know, he didn't mamish die. I'm using strong language. I don't mean to be taken literally. But now, in my eyes, I know how he died. I see how it was good and it was necessary for all this to happen. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I understand, but now I can have closure. And now I can finally sit Shiva and eat the Sudas Havra. Okay, it's a different approach. Is this what I'm saying true? Is there some truth to this? I wouldn't say that if I didn't think there was a little mashu of truth to it. It's obviously not the typical mahalich of it, but you have to be a little bit realistic. Okay, when we're children, we teach us Chumash, they teach us a certain fantasy approach. And that's necessary. That's necessary because that's how you teach children. You know, everything has a happy, they live happily ever after. This is not happily ever after. The consequences of Mechiras Yosef live on until Mashiach. That's the reality. There was a very great tragedy. The brothers did sell their, did want to kill him. These are Yaakov's children. There is what to mourn. Yaakov could not mourn because he didn't know what was going on. He was didn't fill him in on the details. Now I understand. I see what happened. It's tragic. The tragedy is not going anywhere. And because the tragedy is not going anywhere, I am in Avelos. The only difference now between what was before then and now is, now I can sit Shiva. Before I couldn't sit Shiva because there was just too many details that were not clarified. Not like what we're taught is, oh, there's no need to sit Shiva. And instead you should be celebrating and having a parade, a ticker tape parade. And the whole thing was a toast to Mafreya. Yeah, okay, that's true. On a very simplistic level. But on a deeper level, Taka. Now let's now finally sit down and sit Shiva for the tragedy of what my other children did to one of their brothers and the consequences that are going to haunt Klal Yisrael forever. It's a tragedy. When a person dies, it's a tragedy. But there's Avelus. And in the Avelus, there's Nechama. And after the 7 days of Nechama, you get up and you go weiter. Now I can sit Shiva and eat the Sudas Havra, the Griesen Shelpul, and the 10 cups of wine, the Yayin Yashan, and then we can get up, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Aviyem, and we can go weiter. We can deal with what we have. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. Not the ticker tape parade. Okay, that's one idea.
Why is he going to have a Sudas Havra if Yosef is really alive?
Symbolic. Symbolic. You gotta think like Rabbi Chol. Abstract.
Could it be?
After Maral. It's symbolic. You can now see. Yeah.
Could it be that the reason Yaakov told Paro that he had Shanim Marim, you know, bad years, was because he was still in the Shiva? Technically.
It took more than 7 days to get down to Egypt. L'chor, there's not just a Shiva. You're right, though. You're saying it's true. That's right. It doesn't... In the world of reality, it's hard. Life is hard. Okay? But when things happen, you understand, maybe you have a bit of understanding of, now I understand why something had happened many, many years ago. It doesn't change the reality that it happened. And you suffered then, and you suffer now. And the only difference is sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you a little bit of information which gives you nechama. But nechama doesn't bring the dead person back alive. It doesn't change what happened. He's sending him food, the Tuv Mitzrayim. Let my father have nechama. Nichum Aveilam. We're not making a ticker tape parade. We're having Nichum Aveilam. Into Golas. So it's also the future is also not so rosy. Okay, let's go to another idea, another type of idea like that. As I have done with this idea, I don't know how to start this idea. Once upon a time, we mentioned. I spent a lot of time mentioning. There was a fantastic article, probably the best article I ever read in Mishpacha magazine, about 2-3 years ago, about Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman. Elchanan Wasserman. He came to America shortly before he was killed. Right before the war, maybe during the war, I don't remember exactly. Right before the war, to raise money for Baranovich. Okay, they were literally destitute, and he was desperate to raise some money. He came to America to raise money, And then they told him the war was already gearing up, and everyone already saw the handwriting on the wall, and they begged him, don't go back, you're going to die. And he said, basically, I know, but I have to go back and be with my Talmidim. I can't abandon them. I have to go back and die with them. Okay, that's the godless of Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman. He went back to die. He knew he was going to die. He went back to die. And when he was in America and he raised money, it was a miserable failure. He raised almost nothing. The amount of money that he raised when he came to America was a joke. He came to America, he went to the entire, crisscrossed the entire United States. And how much did he raise? He had nothing to show for it. The article dwelt upon the incredible, even though he raised almost no money, and the fundraising trip was a disaster, and he went back to die, yet the article showed with interviews and piece of information that this trip that he made laid the foundation for the enormous growth and success of Torah in America. Every person, there are many interviews, people who have said later on, who became extremely influential and successful in raising the banner of Torah in America, they attribute their motivation to the time they met Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman as he crisscrossed America to raise money, including of Moshe Scherer. And Moshe Scherer said, what inspired him to go into Askanos? Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman. When he came, the experience of what happened when he came, it changed my life. And there's a whole collection of people who went on to be Gedolei Yisrael, Askanim, and without them there would be nothing today. They were ignited, their neshamos were ignited by Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman. When he came to raise money, and it was a disaster. It was no disaster. It was the greatest success that America ever had. Someone who came to visit this country, his visit to this country, what he did, it changed the world. It changed the world. We wouldn't be here today if not for that visit. That's what they presented in that article. You read it, you have to dwell upon it and study it. It's an incredible, incredible piece of work. That is a very long article, very, 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 very fascinating. My sister, she actually, if not for her, I wouldn't even know about it. She showed it to me. Okay, now, I want to suggest something very similar happened in this week's parasha with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu comes down to Mitzrayim. After he comes down to Mitzrayim, there's a famine for 5 years. There's a famine. There's another 5 years left of the famine. I always thought the famine stopped. It's not true. Rashi very clearly says the famine did not stop. When Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim, the famine was going on full. The only difference was in the zuchus of Yaakov Avinu, there was a little bit of grain that grew. Just enough grain grew that Yosef was able to take grain and say to the Egyptians, "Hey lecha zera." The people had nothing of their own to use as seed to plant. And if not for Yaakov coming down in the zuchus of tzaddik bolu'ir, they would have starved to death. They literally would have starved to death because there was just nothing to eat. So what happened? Yaakov came down, and in his zuchus, things began to grow. Not a lot. No one could sustain themselves. It seems that Yosef, Rashi says this, Heluchos, that when Yaakov came down, Zera, there was enough to grow that Yosef, and it grew under the authority of Yosef, and Yosef was able to give that seed to the people of Egypt in exchange for them selling off their assets. So people had animals. I'll tell you what, I'll give you some seed in exchange for your animals. When there were no more animals left, I'll give you some seed in exchange for your land. So Yaakov Avinu, in his zuchus, seed grew, and that seed Yosef gave to the Egyptians in exchange for their animals, then in exchange for their land, and then at one point, the very end of the parasha, he tells them, take this seed, and you know what? And part of this process of even the animals, you can keep for yourself 4/5, but 1/5 you give back to me. Chaimish, I want you to give back to me 1/5. Now I'm going to. Vayikin Yosef, the Vat says, at the end of the parasha, Vayikin Yosef is Adamas Adam Yisrael Lefaro, Lefaro, Lefaro Kimachru, Mitzrayim Ish Sadehu. He chazak, and then they sold their fields. V'yes am, then he did a very big toiva. He went and he relocated everyone. Population relocation. Remember how, what's it called?
What?
What's that term called?
Population exchange.
He moved everyone around. Everyone was relocated from one place to another. In order, and Rashi says, in order that just like when cloud, no one should look down at the Jews who were relocated from Eretz Canaan to Goshen. Everyone was relocated because no one really owned any land. You have to read the parsha all about it. Then it goes on over here. Vayoymer Yosef el ha'am. Look at this. I own everything now. Hein behold, konisi eschem hayom yes ad maschem leparo. I own everything now. Hey lochem zera. I'm giving you seed. Where did the seed come from, by the way? Rashi says, hey, lochem zera. This was the seed, Rashi says before, that only grew in the zuchus of Yaakov. Uzeraten es ho'adama, v'hoya batavuos. Whatever grows, unisatem chamishis leparo, v'arba hayodois ye lochem lezera hasode ulo'och lochem ulasher bevotechem ulechol letapachem. Vayomi, what did they say? Hecha yisanu. Hecha yisanu. Thank you, you've given us life. If not for you, we would be dead. Nimsachem b'ini aduni v'hoyinu avodim lefaro. Let us be your slaves. Vayosim, how are we going to be your slaves? Rashi learns, Vayosim oiso Yosef l'choik ad hayoyim azeh al admas mitzrayim lefaro l'choymesh. You know how you're going to be my slaves? You're always going to give back 20%. 20% tax to Paro. Rak, Admas, Akhaf, and he goes, that's fine. Now, I want to say some Jewish, doesn't say this anywhere, and I don't know if it's correct or not, and you have to see if this is really correct. Why do they give back 20%? Is it really tax? Mayor just said tax, 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 tax. Could very well be, very likely. A government needs money to, you know, to build roads, to have free Wi-Fi, give every illegal immigrant a free telephone. A government needs money for a lot of things. So, you know, where do you get the money from? You get from the people. Is that the pshat? Or maybe not. Maybe the government didn't earn your money. We have plenty of money. We have our own investments. We're in business. We have plenty of money. I want you to give money as a gift. I don't know. You have to be done. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Or maybe there's some type of balance between the two. Egyptians, I'm assuming, were extremely selfish people. It's the Ervas, these are Goyim. What did Goyim know? How much tzedakah does the average Goy give?
Very little.
Almost nothing. I know someone that works with Goyim, he told me he works with these big, big billionaires in all the tech industry. He says, you can't believe they give nothing. They give mamish nothing. Nothing. And he got a donation from someone for $18,000. He never, his life, gave so much money his whole life, this person. He has billions of dollars. You can't even imagine.
Surveys have said that Democrats give far, far less than Republicans, who are more religious.
Oh, religious, right. So why is Yosef telling them to give 20%? Is it a tax? Very well, very possible. Or maybe Yosef is training them. Yosef, he told them, you all have to have a bris milah. Yosef went and he told them, everyone has to relocate to a different city. I don't want you to feel too comfortable here. I want everyone here to feel like just a visitor in this country. Yosef is breaking down their moral deficiencies. This is the Ervas Haaretz. These are people that worship the Nile. They worship Koichi ve'oitzim yad the Ofia Chayil Hazeh. They don't need Hashem. They don't. The Nile floods every year. They have no need for Hashem. They have no need for no one. They can do everything on their own. Yosef is breaking down their gaiva. Koichi ve'oitzim their taiva, the Ervas Haaretz. He made them brismila. He forced them to relocate. And now he's doing something else. Be givers. Be a giver. Why are you so selfish? Give money to the government for government projects. They'll build parks. They'll build highways. Be a giver.
Food kitchens.
Food kitchens. It doesn't say any necessarily that he's forced them to give 20% as a tax. You study these old ancient civilizations, the taxes didn't really exist. It was a different type of system. However it works, you have to delve very deeply into what exactly is going on. But the bottom line is, the Pasuk says, give 20%. Now let's talk a little controversial thing now. We live in America. America is a Medina, all the Gedolei Yisrael, a Malchus Shel Chesed. It's never been good for the Jews, never ever in the history of the world. It's never been so good for Klal Yisrael and Golos, and even in Eretz Yisrael probably, most of the time when we're living in Eretz Yisrael, like it is today. America, the government, do they like us? No, they don't like us. They really don't like us, we know that. They're out to get us. This, whatever you want to say, you want to be more nasty, less nasty. But the bottom line is, that everything is said and done, the country has been created in such a way where there is an opportunity for people who are shomrei Torah u'mitzvos to serve Hashem, to do what they do. Even if they don't like us, no. The country is such that the opportunity and the availability is there. It's there whether you like it or not. And that's an incredible thing, because it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that for 2,000 years. You can be a religious Jew, and the government can say they don't like you. There are a lot of things they don't like, but there's only that much they can do, and it is what it is, and halavai vayter. Okay, no one knows what the future brings, but Yosef created that type of reality. Yosef said, I want you to be givers. You don't have to give everything. Give 20%. Be a giver. Give 20%. And why am I trying to say all this? Because Yaakov and Yosef, and with Yaakov, What does it say in Parshas Beshalach? There's an extremely difficult pasuk, which is almost impossible to, really impossible to understand. The Pshuta Shel Mikra, and Rashi says it, so you can't deny what it says. And Chas V'Shalom to ignore what it says, but it's still very difficult. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi on the pasuk, only one out of five Jews left Egypt. Four out of five Jews died in the Shloishes Yimei Afela, in the 3 days of darkness. It's a Holocaust. It's bigger than a Holocaust. The Holocaust, a third of the Jewish population was wiped out. Here, four-fifths. 80%. Four-fifths, 80%. Okay, Holocaust, 33% was wiped out.
Even more.
Even more, okay, but not 80%. 80%. 80%. Of Jews were wiped out. What?
That's the minimum.
What? 80%? Really? Really? You accept that? 80%? I mean, what? That's what it says. That's what it says. You're not gonna argue with the pasuk in Chumash. V'chamushim l'bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi knows they went out armed. V'chamushim, they means they went out with weapons. I want to say a drush. It's not pshat. The chamushim, v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim is going back on Yosef. Yosef told the country, give 20%. Give, be givers. Allow people who live in this country to do what they want, to serve Hashem. When it says v'chamushim olu v'yikach moishes atzmois Yosef imay, why are we mentioning the bones of Yosef? Chazal say everyone's bones went out. All the Shvatim. No. You know why Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt? It's because of Yosef. Yosef created an environment that Klal Yisrael can live in Egypt. He had them do Bris Milah. He had everyone relocate. He had them be givers. A society has to be, if a person wants to learn, a person wants to have freedom of religion, what's it to you? Let him do what he wants. He's not bothering you. Be a giver. When Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, this was the chamushim. This was a product of this pasuk over here where it says, Vayosem oiso Yosef lechoik. Ad hayoim hazeh al admas Mitzrayim lefaro lachoimesh. This choik of a choimesh is the choimesh of v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael meyaretz Mitzrayim. It's the same choimesh. Klal Yisrael, they were the choimesh that Mitzrayim created or allowed to exist because of Yosef. Yosef said to Egypt, 80% of the country has to do what you want to do. But let 20% of the country have some freedom. Open yourself up to be tolerant of people that are different than you. 20% of the country can be Democrats. Tolerance. Klal, the entire Klal Yisrael, every single living Jew, no one died. Okay, this is Drush. No one died. Klal Yisrael is the Chomesh that Yosef HaTzadik created. It doesn't mean in people, in concept. He created a Choik La Chomesh. That's the Chomesh of the V'chamushim. Okay, fine, whatever, fine, yeah. Whatever Adayam Azem means, anyway, you go to Egypt today, they give 20% taxes. They never pay to the name, they're poor, they're dirt poor, whatever it means. Adayam Azem. There's one little part that I left out, and that is when Yaakov Avinu, he met up with Paro, what did he do? He gave him a bracha. What was the bracha? That the Nile should rise. When you go to the water, the Nile should rise to you. Strange bracha, right? Yaakov Avinu was planting, whatever it means. But Yaakov, when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, I want you to be the leader of the Jewish people. I want you to go and begin the 10 Makos. What does Hashem say? Hine Yoitze Hamayma. Go talk to Paro. Where are you going to find him? By the Maima, you're going to find him by the water. Paro, he goes out in the morning and the water rises for him. Everyone, the cameras are playing, they're taking pictures for the media. Why did Hashem tell Moshe that you should go to Paro bedafka at the time when he goes out to the water and the water rises? You go in the zuchus of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu planted the seeds. When Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, I was thinking, it's Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov and Yosef, together as a team, they planted the seeds for Klal Yisrael. They came down to Egypt, he gave him a brach, the Nile will rise in the honor of, only Paro knew it was the zechus of Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you just continue where Yaakov left off. Klal Yisrael, the Chomesh, the seeds, like Avraham Wasserman, he came to America, he met people, And Mimela, they were taken in by him, by his Yir Shamayim. It changed them. Yosef, Yaakov, their presence in Egypt, it changed Egypt. It changed Egypt and opened up in Egypt the possibility that Klal Yisrael could survive in this country. They could exist in this country for 210 years. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, vachamushim olu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The seeds that Yosef planted, Yosef being the son of Yaakov, took root in Egypt, and that choik lachoimesh is the chamushim, right? Is it the same pasuk? Mishalach. Let me go to that pasuk in Mishalach. Tamar, what does it say in the pasuk? Atzmos Yosef, 13:19. Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef. Could anyone here in the room do that? Tamari, unbelievable. Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef. Okay, where does it say the word? It's the pasuk before that. Vayasev Elokim es am derech amivo yamsuf vachamushim. Olu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Next words, Vayikach Moshe atzmos Yosef. What's the juxtaposition? Because the atzmos Yosef are the chamushim. Vayosem oisol l'choik ad hayom hazeh l'choimesh. He changed their attitude of tolerance, of being givers, allowing Klal Yisrael to exist. Mimela, they were the product of that attitude. Like America. America, whatever you want to say about America, they have created an opportunity. You want to take advantage, you want to sit and learn, no one's going to stop you. You want to have a shul, no one's going to stop you. They have created that opportunity, that chomesh. And we are the product of that chomesh. That is the Atzmos Yosef, his legacy. All the shvatim they took out. Why do we? No. The Atzmos, this is the legacy of Yosef. He planted the seeds that we can be that chamushim. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we'll stop over here. Oh, yeah.